Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for each one here. And I pray, Father, please, that you will convey this message, carry this message to each of our hearts. Help us to hear it exactly as you would have for us to hear it from you. Maybe, Father, there's other things that aren't in this message that you may convey to our hearts that that we don't realize. You know, Father, that there are those times when people will think they heard it in the message when in fact they've heard it from you. And I just pray, Father, please, that your move and your work and your touch and your accomplish that which you want to this morning through your word and through our fellowship together in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked a little bit about Mary and Joseph. Does anybody remember what they were, why they had joy in the midst of difficult times? Anybody? The reason why they had joy in the midst of difficult times, because that was the message last week. Can we have joy in difficult times? It's not the exact title, but that was the focus. And the answer is yes. Joseph had joy once God sent an angel and told him, the angel of the Lord told him, said, hey, this baby that Mary has is ordained of God, and Mary is clean and innocent here, and you can be confident in that and take her as your wife. And this is what I'm doing. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior of the world. And Mary is that chosen woman to carry the anointed one in her womb. And so therefore you can rejoice in that. And then even going from where they were to Bethlehem to find a place to stay, as we know the story in Scripture, everything was full and they had to go in a stable and where Jesus was born. You know, the external attributes of the situation were not pleasant, but the joy was there because they knew they were in the center of God's will, doing what God wanted them to do. They had confidence and joy being used by God for him. And so we just praise God for that. But I want us to understand something, that such faith, that kind of faith, brings glory to God. And really, in all earnestness, the ultimate goal of the birth of Christ is to glorify the Father. And we're going to look at that this morning. And we often look at Christmas time, we look at the birth. And what does the birth represent? We know it represents Christ the Savior, born, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. We know the story, or the history, a better way to say it, that he died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose, and that he's alive today and he's in heaven, and that all that say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, I believe what you did, come live in my heart. We have a personal relationship with Christ that's eternal. And we would think that was the only reason why Christ came to earth. That's the mission, that was the joy that was set before him. But I want to present to you, it's not the only and it's not the ultimate reason. It's not simply because of us, but it's to the glory of God. And so I want us to consider this morning. Again, Mary and Joseph were faithful to the call of God in their lives according to the birth of the Savior. We know that out of Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 1. We also know that the shepherds praise God for the angelic news. Remember, we talked about this last week, the shepherds are out in the field. How many of you have ever been out of town camping and you're out in the sticks? There are no street lights. There are no commercial buildings. And when the lights go out, when the sun sets, it's dark. And you can see that clear sky. And they saw that angel proclaim the birth of Christ. And then they heard the angelic chorus singing the hallelujah praise of God. And the declaration that today is born to you, the Son of David, the Savior, is born. And go, he's wrapped in swaddling cloths. And go and see him. And they left their sheep, which was a no-no among shepherds. And they left with confidence in knowing this was God's will, that they would go and see this newborn king. And I can guarantee you that when they were there, the presence of the Holy Spirit was prominent. Can you imagine being there yourself, seeing baby Jesus, the newborn king, having heard from angels in heaven, where the sky literally veiled open, like peeking through a heavy curtain on a stage before the show began. Saying, the king is born, go see him. And they were singing. And they knew that was real. They knew he was the Savior. He was the Son of God. And the presence of the Holy Spirit was there. That was great joy. And even though they left their sheep and their responsibility there, they followed a greater responsibility to follow what God told them to do through that angelic host. But I want us to look at Simon, or Simeon and Anna, this morning. Because if you haven't quite caught on, the thread in this message is the glory of God through the birth of Christ. And Joseph and Mary glorified God because of their faith. The shepherds glorified God because of their faith. Simon and Anna brought praise and glory to God as well. Luke chapter 2, verse 21 through 38. It says, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus. Anybody, well, this is a rhetorical question. I'll just tell you, why on the eighth day? Because the eighth day is when vitamin A is the highest and blood coagulation is greater, and God also said, do it on the eighth day. Circumcise that child on the eighth day. He was named Jesus. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus. The name of the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. What a declaration. You have Messiah, or our boys and our families, and say the first ones that were born, and you were called of God to take them into the temple, into the church, and to dedicate them to God. Wow. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man named in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What's the consolation of Israel? The Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That comfort and that expectation. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine being Simeon saying, I know that I'm not going to die yet because I haven't seen the Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One yet. Moses, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and what? Praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon, an old man, close to God, the Holy Spirit's prevalent, telling him, you're going to see this child before I call you home. He's holding baby Jesus, and he lifts him up, not quite that wide, but lifts him up, and honors God with this prayer, praise. And Joseph and Mary are listening, and they're taking it in. One more confirmation, one more affirmation, one more declaration of the Savior. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And then something else happened while they were in the temple. Simeon had praised God for Jesus. There was a declaration made about him, and then there was a prophetess, Aunt Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She only has a little piece in the New Testament here. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after the marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Isn't that cool? Imagine Joseph and Mary, they just heard Simeon make his declaration and praising God, and all of a sudden this lady comes over that's very old but very faithful and very devout in her walk with God. And she honors baby Jesus too. That glory that was being bestowed upon Christ, even though just a little child. It kind of goes back to that message that I preached a while back, that our joy is not made complete until we bring that joy back to praising God. We can be happy about things that God does for us and rejoice in them, but we should be acknowledging those things and bringing them back to God. The same thing is here. But the focus of the birth of Christ brought that proclamation and that declaration of glory and praise to God. It wasn't just, this is our Savior, this is our Redeemer, this is our Deliverer, but this is part of the plan of God, and we are glorifying Him for what He has done. The birth of Christ, the Savior and Redeemer of mankind, was not for the sake of mankind alone. I mean, if I was to ask you, why did Jesus come, why was He born? Most of us would reply, well, He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He came so that we might have eternal life and faith in Christ. But again, I say it, the birth of Christ, the Savior and Redeemer of mankind, was not for the sake of mankind alone, but you already know the ultimate goal of the birth of Christ was to glorify the Father. How's that connection? How is that made possible? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:6 is a wonderful truth. I mean, I love this verse. You ever get in the Word of God and you're studying and you're reading and all of a sudden something comes out to you or you're directed toward a verse as you're studying and reading commentaries and books or whatever, and you come to a verse and you go, I never caught that before. That's so cool. That's this verse for me today. I wrote on Facebook this morning, I'm so excited about getting to church. And I am, because I love being with my church family. But I'm excited about this verse and this message because I think it reveals such great truth for us. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. That's a lot of statement. You have to really digest that, break that down, and think about that for a little bit. The first part here is that for God said, let the light shine out of darkness. Okay? What was the light that shone out of darkness? Jesus. Jesus is the light, which reveals what? Truth. Which reveals the direction, the way, the hope, the promise of God. Made His light shine in our hearts. How is it that God's light shines in our hearts? Well, when we recognize who Jesus is and we ask Him to come into our heart and to be our Savior, we have a relationship with Christ. But then as we follow Him, as we study His Word, as we're in prayer, as we worship Him together, as we are continually endeavoring to walk faithfully with the Lord, He reveals the knowledge of Himself to us. Wow. He reveals the knowledge of Himself to us. He made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of what? God's glory. The reason why God is in our heart is not only so we can be saved, so when we die, we go to heaven. So many people think, man, I've got my ace in my pocket. I got the cat in the bag. My name's written on the Lamb's Book of Life, right? I know when I die, I know where I'm going, and therefore there's no sweat. And then they count that as a 2% of their life where, yeah, I've received Christ and I follow Christ. I mean, I know Christ and I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. And that's all they want. But when we choose individually to walk with God, to listen to God, to follow God, then He reveals His own character to us, which glorifies God. Now, have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, I knew you were a Christian. I could just sense it. Or there's something different about you. Or your faith is strong. Or some sort of acknowledgement that Jesus lives in you. That glorifies God. That glorifies God. He made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory. And that very last part, displayed in the face of Christ. How is that practical? How is that applied? It sounds a little confusing to us. If all of you, and myself included, had blank faces, I mean, had this fuzzy red hair and this bald head and this goatee, not even a goatee, just this part, but down from here down, from the forehead down here, was just this blurry, blank, blah. I know, don't tell me it's already there. But listen, if we all had faces that we couldn't identify who we were, we would lose in those personal relationships. To know the face of Christ is to know Christ. To know the face of Christ is to know the details of our Lord personally. It's to know that you know him well enough that, like you might with your spouse, where certain habits or maybe an expression on their face means this or that. Sometimes good, sometimes not. And yet we sense that in our walk with Jesus. We can identify the particulars of Christ's face and his reactions to us in our walk with him. See, as we follow Christ, we know him more because God, who is light, is in us, and he reveals the glory of the knowledge of himself to us as we follow him. And as we follow him and learn of him, we learn the details of Jesus and in his own personality, in his own character, and the values of who Christ is and his and the virtues of Christ. That's what that means. It means that because we walk with Christ, we know him well enough to know how to identify him because we know his character. And as we walk with him, that very character of Christ begins to be seen in us. Ah. The birth of Christ was not for man alone for salvation, but that in our salvation in Christ, people might see Christ in us and do what? Glorify God. I know you're a Christian because I see your faith. Wow. I know the earmarks of Christ in your life. Awesome. You're the people of God. That's cool. Knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ is what we gain from this. Christ is the light that shone out of darkness. Receiving the light is receiving Christ into our hearts, that we might grow in the knowledge of the glory of the Father through the face or the character of Christ in our lives. I love that. See, Jesus, you've heard me preach it, because of the joy that was set before him, I've always said, you and I are the joy, and we are. It's the joy of knowing that we would come to him. But it's the joy of us having fellowship and a relationship that's real and rich and personal and alive with Christ on a regular basis, that in that relationship, that the very virtues and character of Christ comes out and is evident and brings glory to God. And we bring glory to God. We praise God for who he is. Gave me a whole new picture of the birth of Christ. I mean, I grew up, and as a Christian, I always, every Christmas, Christ's birth, my Savior, my Redeemer, I know the story, he dies on the cross, we receive him, we have eternal life, and it stopped. I said, that's not the only reason. That in knowing me and having a relationship with me, that people will see me in you, and that God will be glorified. How awesome is that? Third thing I want us to consider, but not the least, is this. Jesus devoted his life to glorifying the Father. That's the truth. Do we? There's a question. We're challenged to devote our life to glorifying the Father by walking with him and being his people. Every believer should devote their lives to glorifying Christ. I want to look at Jesus' commitment, three verses. Jesus' desire to glorify the Father, John 17:4. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave to me. Who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to his Father in heaven. What was his goal? To bring glory to the Father. And how did he do that? By finishing the work that he did, that he was called to do on earth, which was the cross and the resurrection, the ascension, right? Afterwards. You and I are called to do the same thing, that we bring glory to God by being so in tune with God that we are walking in his plan for our life, and our life accomplishes what he wants to through it, that it brings glory to God. John 7:18, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. You know, the person who's more interested in himself or talk more about themselves than seeking to bring glory to God. The person who is humble and genuine and wanting to bring glory to God will seek to do things and say things that honor and glorify him. And therefore, you identify the genuineness of the heart. Did you catch that? When we're out for ourselves, it's not the genuine heart that God wants. When we're out to seek glory for God by living for him, that's the heart that God wants. In John 4:34, Jesus says, my food. Now, that's a big statement for me. Love food. Does a lot of stuff for me. Satisfies me. Helps me not to be on edge. When I'm sad or whatever, I eat, and I just love food, as you know. But Jesus said, my food, said Jesus, my satisfaction, my joy, my fulfillment, my life-giving source is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. I want to do everything the Father wants me to do. That's my substance. That's my purpose. That's my joy in life. Now, there are the characteristics of Jesus' desire to glorify the Father, but I want us to look at the purpose of Christians. The body of Christ is to glorify God the Father in Christ. You hear that again? The purpose of the Christian, the body of Christ, is to glorify God the Father in Christ. How do we glorify God the Father in Christ? We have a relationship with him by receiving him. We walk with him purposefully, clearly, with a clear conscience, the heart genuine toward God. We let him work in and through our lives to transform us to be the people he wants us to be. And in that, by walking with Jesus, it glorifies God the Father. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Convicted, convicted, convicted. That's me. Terry, did you over? I'm trying to change this. So eat in a way that glorifies God. I'm always convicted about that. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Now, that doesn't mean that all of us who speaks, most of us speak, in general, people talk. Because of that distinction, if anyone speaks, he's talking about those, if you look at the context, he talks about gifts that were given to people. So if you're a public speaker, like an evangelist or a pastor or a representative as a clergyman for Christ, it's saying if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. When I'm up here preaching, I have to be careful that what I'm preaching is God's word, that it's solid, and it's not Terry Glover. Sometimes that can be very delicate, depending upon what I'm talking about. But I always seek to make sure that what I say is of the Lord. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, so every one of us has been given a gift or more by Christ when we receive Christ as our Savior. Every one of us is called to serve God as we discover those gifts. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. God has given us a gift. We should use it and rely on his strength to accomplish it. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the what? The glory and the power forever and ever. Comes back to the glory of God, doesn't it? And then in Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Sometimes people, Christians in particular, might take that verse and say, I want people to see how good I am. Wrong. You're going to get slapped down hard. But if we want to reveal the virtue of Christ in our life, to have a humble heart that loves the Lord, then people will see Christ in us, and it'll glorify our Father in heaven. All three of those verses talk about bringing glory to God. So the ultimate goal of the birth of Christ was to bring glory to the Father through the body of Christ. The circle is made complete when the glory of our, when our lives bring glory to God. That's the completed circle. So it's kind of, interesting that in messages of late, that the one where you, our joy in the Lord is made complete when we bring that joy back to praising God for what he's done, his blessing on us, the joys in our life. The birth of Christ is made that much more complete when our lives, who are saved through Christ, walk with Jesus, and in its full circle, glorifies God. And the only way our lives are going to glorify God is if we truly love him. It's so easy to say, I love Jesus, without the responsibility and accountability that comes with that statement. But to love Jesus with a genuine, tender, humble heart, and say, Lord, I just want to follow you, I want to know you more, I want to be closer to you more than ever before. And I want to be everything that you've called me to be, what you preordained me to be before the foundations of the world. I want to be what you made me for, your glory. Kind of a twist on the birth of Christ, isn't it? But the birth of Christ is to bring glory to God through us, because we are in him. As believers in Christ, are we living our lives to bring glory to the Father? Let's go to prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the fact that you who sit on your throne in heaven, by faith, we believe that. By your word, we know that. That you are a creator of heaven and earth and everything that there is. That you always have been and always will be. And yet in the vastness of your glory and your might and your power, you sent your son that we might have a relationship with you, and that our lives will bring you glory. So help us to live that way. Help us this Christmas to say, thank you, Lord, for being my Savior, but help my life to be an act of thankfulness towards you by living a life that brings you honor and glory. For that's your purpose. We praise you, we love you, and we thank you. And we ask you this in Jesus' name.